There are no godlings in the world yet to show us what it can do.
Like turn a bunny into a bee or make flowers bloom?
He is silent for a moment, and I sense his reluctance. He has never lied to me, not even when I ask questions he would rather not answer. I don't know, he says at last. Sometimes when I sing, if I believe something will happen, it happens. And sometimes, he hesitates, abruptly looks uneasy. Sometimes when I don't sing, it happens too. The song is the door, but belief is the key that unlocks it. I touch his face, trying to understand his discomfort.
What is it, Papa?
He catches my hand and kisses it and smiles, but I have already felt it. He is, just a little, afraid. Well, just think. What if you took a man and believed he was a rock? Something alive that you believed was something dead? I try to think about this, but I am too young. It sounds fun to me. He sighs and smiles and pats my hand. I put out my hands, closed my eyes, and believed a world into being. My hands ached to feel, and so I imagined thick, loamy soil. My feet ached to stand, so I put that soil under them, solid, hollow sounding when I stumped because of the air and life teeming within it. My lungs ached to breathe, and I inhaled air that was slightly cool, moist with dew. I breathed out, and the warmth of my breath made vapor in the air. I could not see that, but I believed it was there, just as I knew there would be light around me, as my mother had once described, misty morning light from a pale early spring sun. The darkness lingered, resistant. Sun. 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 Warmth danced along my skin, driving away the aching cold. I sat back on my knees, drawing deep breaths and smelling fresh-turned dirt and feeling the glaze of light against my closed eyelids. I needed to hear something, so I decided there would be wind, a light morning breeze, gradually dispelling the fog. When the breeze came, stirring my hair to tickle my neck, I did not let myself feel amazement. That would lead to doubt. I could feel the fragility of the place around me, its inclination to be something else, cold, endless dark. No, I said quickly, and was pleased to hear my own voice. There was air now to carry it. Warm spring air. A garden ready to be planted. Stay here. The world stayed, so I opened my eyes. I could see. And strangely, the scene around me was familiar. I sat in the terrace garden of my home village, where I had almost always been completely blind. Not much magic in Nimero. The only time I had ever seen the village had been the day my father died, the day of the Grey Lady's birth. I had seen everything then. I had recreated that day now, falling back on the memory of that single magic-infused glimpse. Silvery mid-morning mist shivered in the air. I remembered that the big boxy shape on the other side of the garden was a house, though I could not tell if it was mine or the neighbor's without smelling it or counting my steps. Prickly things near my feet danced in the breeze. Grass. I had rebuilt everything. Except people. I got to my feet, listening. In all my years in the village, I had never heard it so silent at this time of day. There were always small noises, birds, backyard goats, somebody's newborn fussing. Here there was nothing. Like ripples in water, I felt the space around me tremble. It's home, I whispered. It's home, just early. Nobody else is up yet. It's real. The ripples ceased. Real, yet terribly fragile. I was still in the dark place. All I'd done was create a sphere of sanity around myself, like a bubble. I would have to continue affirming its reality, believing in it to keep it intact. Trembling, I dropped to my knees again, pushing my fingers into the moist soil. Yes, that was better. Concentrate on the small things, the mundanities. I lifted a handful of earth to my nose and inhaled. My eyes could not be trusted, but the rest? Yes, That I could do. But I was tired suddenly, more tired than I should have been. As I squeezed the clod of dirt, I found my head nodding, my eyelids heavy. I hadn't slept much, but that did not account for this. I was in a strange place, scared out of my mind. Fear alone should have had me too tense to sleep. Before I could fathom this new mystery, there was another of those curious rippling shivers, and then agony sizzled behind my eyes. I cried out, arching backward and clapping dirty hands to my face, my concentration broken. Even as I screamed, I felt the false Nemero bubble shatter around me, spinning away into nothingness as the sickening empty dark rushed in. And then I landed on my side on a solid surface, hard enough that the breath was jarred from my body. "Well, here you are," said a cool male voice, familiar, but I could not think. Hands touched me, turning me over and pushing my hair from my face. I tried to jerk away, but that jarred the ratcheting agony in my eyes, my head. I was too tired to scream. "Is she all right?" That was a woman's voice, somewhere beyond the man. "I'm not certain." The words felt like God words, slapping my ears. I clapped my hands over my ears and moaned, wishing they would all just be silent. "This isn't the usual disorientation." "No. I think it's some effect of her own magic. She used it to protect herself from my power." "Fascinating." He turned away from me. I felt his smugness like a scrim of filth along my skin. "Your proof." "Indeed." She sounded pleased as well. At that point, I passed out.